Welcome to Law You Should Know. The law affects every aspect of our lives, our home, our jobs, and our recreational activities. Now you can learn about the law and how to protect yourself against the loss of your liberty or property. Learn how to stand up for your rights and seek compensation when you have been wronged. Your host for Law You Should Know is attorney Kenneth J. Landau with the Mineola Law Firm of Shane, Dock, Stanisi, and Corker. He's a member of the Committee on Professional Ethics of the Bar Association of Nassau County and counsel to the Nassau Academy of Law. And now, here is your host for Law You Should Know, attorney Kenneth J. Landau.
Hi, this is Ken Landau, and welcome to Law You Should Know. My guest is attorney Linda Resnowicki, and she is an expert on landlord-tenant law, and she represents most of her practice is limited to landlord-tenant law. And today we're going to focus on the question of residential leases. And Linda, thank you for coming on Law You Should Know. And
thank you, Mr. Landau.
And why are leases so important?
Well, leases describe the relationship between landlord and tenant, or try to. They set forth the term of the lease, the beginning, the start date, and the end date, the rental amount. They give tenant the right to exclusive possession. They identify the tenant and the landlord. They describe the lease premises. And, of course, both parties signed. So both parties bind themselves by the lease.
In effect, it's like a contract between the landlord and the tenant.
Absolutely, a contract.
And describing their rights, the rights and responsibilities of each party.
Maybe, yes, it describes the rights and responsibilities, but the description in the lease may not be accurate. So reference has to be made to New York state law, statutes, and case law.
Right, so the laws or statutes or case law may control regardless of what the lease says.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, there might be a standard lease, or the landlord or the tenant can customize it or add in terms that are important to them that are agreed to by both parties.
Right. There's a Real Estate Board of New York, Julius Blumberg, Rent Stabilization Association. All of these organizations provide form leases, and where people like me come in, where attorneys come in, we draft riders primarily for owners and landlords, and we review them for tenants.
But if a tenant is of sufficient means and they have concerns, they might want to pay an attorney to review the lease.
Absolutely. The lease is supposed to be written in plain, understandable language, clear, and in a certain, you know, more than 8-point type. And so a tenant should be able to read it. But if there's something that a tenant does not understand, it would be appropriate to come quickly to an attorney to get an explanation before signing the lease.
And especially if there's a lot of money involved, or the tenant, the landlord has made certain promises and the tenant wants to make sure they are adequately incorporated into the lease, again, they may want to have it reviewed by an attorney.
That's right. If it's not in the lease, it doesn't exist.
Even if it was verbally promised.
So verbal promises do not exist, and the lease does state usually that it's the entire agreement between the parties.
Right. So I know there's a lot of different little things about leases you want to review. So let's start with the term of the lease. You know, some of the things that are usually contained in every lease. So let's start with the term and the rental amount.
The term and the rental amount, in market leases, you know, in market leases, not rent stabilized or rent controlled, that is subject to negotiation between the parties. The landlord will generally make a demand for a rental amount, and the tenant will either meet it or go to the next landlord and see what other properties are available and at what price. So the term is usually, you know, a landlord will usually give a new tenant a term of 1 year. The rent stabilization law, for example, you know, gives tenants the option of picking a 1 year or a 2 year lease.
Okay. And I know we have a lot to cover. So again, with the term, the lease will also describe the premises. So if the tenant is going to have access to storage, to a yard, to laundry or other things, they really should also be mentioned in the lease.
Absolutely.
And the lease, as you mentioned, it should be written. Under what, if there's anything that a verbal lease would be appropriate for?
If a lease is under a term of 1 year, say a month-to-month lease, it does not have to be written. But writing always clarifies any misunderstanding that might exist between the parties. So I've seen written month-to-month leases also.
Okay, and what about checking out the, in terms of best practices, and you mentioned the rider to a lease. So what might the riders deal with?
The riders, there are many provisions that could be contained in a rider. You know, for instance, let's see, a landlord could provide that a tenant is not allowed to smoke cigarettes or any other substance in the subject premises, and that would be a legal provision. A rider might provide that a tenant is not allowed to light candles in the subject premises, is not allowed to leave if the tenant has a front yard that the tenant could use. Possibly there would be in the rider a designation that they should not leave their outdoor furniture in the front yard. Anything you can imagine could be included in a rider. But of course, if it's something illegal, like we promise not to have children while we live here, that would be an absolutely illegal provision in a rider.
Can it limit the number of people to occupy, or related or non-related?
That's a very excellent question. You know, many leases, you know, the form leases say tenant and only tenant may occupy this apartment. But the reality is that tenants, immediate family members plus an unrelated person, can occupy the apartment. In New York City and other places, I'm sure as well, there are occupancy limitations. These occupancy limitations are set forth in the New York City Housing Maintenance Code, the Administrative Code, Section 27, and it says that there should be 80 square feet available for every person occupying an apartment. So subject to and limited by overcrowding provisions, a tenant could have immediate family members and an unrelated roommate occupying.
Linda, I just want to move along because I know there's many important points, a lot of information you have to give. In terms of rider, can we also discuss whether pets are allowed?
Oh, yes, and that is a large subject that will take an entire program, but it's usually in the form lease that you will find the phrase, no pets allowed. Now, that is subject to the law, and it could be that if you have a disabled person, a blind person, well, obviously that person could have their guide dog, but more recently you have persons who suffer from depression who might have a doctor's note, and they are entitled to have a comfort animal.
Right. So there might be laws that override the lease.
But absolutely.
And let me just ask you a couple. Can a rider also prohibit a business from being conducted, or let's say ban the playing of music at certain hours?
Absolutely ban the playing of music at certain hours. That would be an excellent provision in a rider. In terms of conducting a business at the premises, in New York City, for example, under the zoning resolution, one is allowed to use 25% of the apartment or no more than 500 square feet for what's called a home occupation.
But
in other words,
can a landlord ban it even if it's provided allowed by zoning laws?
No.
Okay.
You know, the law would override the lease.
Fine. And what about use of an apartment for Airbnb?
Oh, that's absolutely prohibited under New York City law. That is, in fact, subletting. Subletting could be done, with the consent of the landlord if it's for, you know, a period of more than 1 month. But
so
you
the,
know,
so the landlord in a rider could ban the use for B&B, Airbnb, or could permit it if it was part of the contract between the tenant and the landlord.
Well, it could be permitted, but in New York City, Airbnb, I do believe, is not legal at this time.
Okay. And let's talk about some of the other things. What about security deposit?
Oh, security deposits, a lease will definitely provide for, very rarely will not provide for the provision of a security deposit. The security deposit is often equal to 1 month's rent, could be equal to 2 months' rent, and the landlord is required to keep it separately from landlord's funds. The landlord is allowed to charge a 1% administrative fee for holding a security deposit, which would leave tenant with very little money upon departure, really, in terms of interest. The security deposit does not have to be placed in an interest-bearing account unless the apartment is 6 units or more. So it could just be placed in a separate account, and the tenant must be notified of what bank and what the bank's branch address is regarding where the money is kept.
Right, and the security deposits mainly to guard against damage by the tenant to the premises.
That's true, and to secure the tenant's performance of the terms of the lease, including, for instance, the payment of rent. So if tenant does not pay the last month's rent and leaves the apartment in undamaged condition, that security deposit could be kept. However, tenants are often under the misimpression that they are not obligated to pay the last month's rent because the security deposit will cover it. You know, that's not the purpose of the security deposit. As you said, it could also be applied to cover landlord's damages.
So the tenant really doesn't have the right to say, use my security as last month's rent, and the landlord doesn't really have the right to take it as the last month's rent.
Well, the landlord could take it as the last month's rent if tenant doesn't pay the last month.
Right.
Yeah.
And what does the lease have to be delivered once it's signed by both parties?
Or absolutely. If it's not delivered, it's not enforceable against the person who did not receive it.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with attorney Linda Reznowicki about residential leases. And she also has a website, landlordtenantlaw.net, which gives more information about landlord-tenant law and residential leases. And she also has offices where she concentrates in the practice of landlord-tenant law in Manhattan. You are listening to Law You Should Know here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nass Community College, and also over the internet at ncc.edu/WHPC. We'll be back in a moment.
WHPC 90.3, the radio voice of Nassau Community College, is looking for individuals, businesses, charities, or organizations in our local and global community that would like to donate to support our radio station. Whether you listen locally or online, here is how it works. Go to our webpage at ncc.edu/WHPC and click Donate Now. Or if you prefer, you can send a check to WHPC Radio, 1 Education Drive, Garden City, New York, 11530. Make check payable to the NCC Foundation. In the memo of your check, write WHPC Donate Now. Any contributions will help defray our operating costs, and it's tax deductible. This message was brought to you by the radio voice of Nassau Community College, streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Once again, we continue with Law You Should Know. From the Mineola Law Firm of Shane, Doc, Stanisi, Corker, and Sauer, here is attorney Kenneth J. Landau.
Hi, this is Ken Landau, and welcome back to Law You Should Know. We're talking with attorney Linda Reznowicki, and she's an attorney with offices in Manhattan concentrating in the area of landlord and tenant law. And she also has a website, landlordtenantlaw.net, which has additional valuable information. Linda, you were telling us about some of the dealings between landlords and tenants, some things that landlord and tenants cannot do, and some of the terms of a residential lease. I just want to take a step back, and sometimes landlords require tenants to complete an application before a lease even comes into play. So can a landlord require a tenant to fill out an application and provide certain background information and consent to a credit check?
Absolutely. And landlords in New York City, at least, do that routinely. And if the credit check is okay, and also a court check, if that's okay, then the tenant would be accepted. The court check is actually a check on whether the tenant has been involved in any landlord-tenant proceedings in the courthouses. And it's called a blacklist. And if a tenant has been involved in such proceedings, landlord might just reject that tenant outright. Also, the application is very important because the lease may provide, say, in a rider, that if tenant misrepresented any facts on the application form, that it's grounds for eviction of the tenant.
Now, there are a lot of reasons a landlord cannot discriminate or disqualify or refuse to rent to a tenant, and we'll come to those in a minute. But a landlord is allowed to refuse to rent, especially a market rate apartment, if they feel the tenant's income is insufficient?
Absolutely.
So it's like qualifying for a loan.
Right. And a broker would be best, in the best position to tell you what those financial ramifications are. It used to be one-third of your income should be for rent and no more. Now it might be approaching more like one-half.
Oh, so it's gone up.
Yes. And a broker would be in a better position to guide a tenant on that issue.
But a landlord could ask for pay stubs. They could ask for verification from the employer. They could ask for tax returns.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like you're buying something or qualifying for a mortgage. The landlord can do all that due diligence.
Yes, absolutely.
But a landlord cannot discriminate against a person because they don't like them or because of ethnicity or sexual orientation or having a family or anything like that?
Well, if a landlord doesn't like a tenant, a landlord could send a tenant away, but there are prohibited forms of discrimination, such as, discrimination on the basis of race, creed, national origin, sex, marital status,
so they
age,
could discriminate. They could discriminate because of personality, but not one of those other protected areas.
Right. And in New York City, there are additional protected areas, which are, gender, sexual orientation, lawful occupation, no discrimination against attorneys, immigration status, lawful source of income. Can't discriminate against somebody because they get money from the federal Section 8 program. You can't discriminate in New York City against recovering alcoholics or HIV-positive persons. However, and also, most importantly, a landlord cannot discriminate against a prospective tenant if the tenant has a child or children, unless it's a federally subsidized or insured senior citizen housing complex.
So you really can't ask questions on an application about these things, but you could conduct an interview, but you would not be allowed to ask questions about those areas.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
And you could have an investigator do a background check or ask for character references, but you could not touch on any of those areas.
Absolutely. Not on those areas.
Okay. And what are some other, things that might be included in a lease?
Well,
or perhaps different notice provisions.
Yes, a notice provision is very important. How does the tenant give notice to the landlord? How should the landlord give notice to the tenant? By certified mail, by email? Where the rent payment should be sent and delivered? How it should be made? A set of rules that tenant must obey. Something called the default clause would be in a lease, giving a tenant a certain number of days to cure or correct the default and a certain number of days until the lease would be terminated. It would provide who, as we discussed, who can occupy the premises. It might provide require a tenant to obtain apartment insurance, naming landlord as insured as well as tenant. It definitely should provide an access clause, making the tenant responsible for allowing the landlord into the premises in the event any repairs need to be made.
Would the landlord also have to be allowed in just to inspect things?
Absolutely. Leases do routinely provide that landlord could come in for an inspection, and maybe 30 days before the termination of the lease, prospective tenants could be allowed to enter and inspect. If the landlord is looking to obtain a new mortgage on the property, you know, tenants have to give access to the bankers who come to the premises, et cetera.
And it would generally be on notice unless there's some type of emergency.
Right. You know, it would be, you know, in New York City, it's 8 days notice. But in an emergency, that it's possible that no notice whatsoever would be given, and that would be okay. In case of a fire, a leak, or smoke condition or something like that.
And the leases usually contain a waiver of a right to trial by jury?
Yes. A right to trial by jury in a landlord-tenant dispute, but it is not legal to waive a right to trial by jury in the event tenant slips and falls and hurts him or herself at the premises. That is a different kind of case, and tenant cannot waive the right to trial by jury.
And is there also some provision where a tenant would be asked to waive counterclaims in a landlord-related litigation?
Absolutely. That's often included in a lease. For instance, if a tenant is being sued for non-payment of rent, the tenant cannot assert an unrelated counterclaim, such as your sidewalk was broken and I tripped and fell and hurt myself. That would be an unrelated counterclaim to the payment, a non-payment proceeding.
And what are some issues that also, any other clauses that you want to comment on, or any other clauses that might be illegal in a lease?
Oh, there are many clauses that I find in form leases that are absolutely illegal. There are clauses that say a landlord is not liable for injuries that the tenant may suffer if landlord negligently maintains its property. A lease might provide that an apartment can only be occupied by tenant, and as we discussed, that's illegal. A lease might say tenant is not allowed to sublet, but this prohibition is not enforceable if the building has four or more apartments. A lease might provide that you're not allowed to have pets, but as we discussed, there are exceptions to that.
And the subletting, would the landlord have to approve the subtenant?
The tenant would have to make, under the real property law, the tenant has to make a request providing six different types of information. You know, the name of the proposed subtenant, et cetera, et cetera. You know, a tenant has to refer to the real property law, and we had best, retain an attorney to make a proper request.
And also, we talked earlier about qualifying credit income-wise. A tenant, if the landlord allows them, might be able to have someone be a guarantor of the financial terms of the lease?
And that often happens with college students, that somebody might come in, a parent might come in and be a guarantor.
But is the landlord under any obligation to accept someone else as a guarantor?
A landlord can accept any adult who's standing up for the tenant to be a guarantor.
Okay. And by the same token, if someone sublets a lease, does it properly, the tenant is still financially liable for the terms of the lease.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Yes, the tenant During the sublet term, the tenant remains financially liable to landlord, and the subtenant is responsible to the tenant.
Okay. We are running low on time, but I just want to. One thing a lease also usually includes is quiet enjoyment of the apartment. What does that mean?
Quiet enjoyment of the apartment means that there should not be any third party who bursts into the apartment and says, "This is mine." You know, a landlord must protect against that. And also, there's a warranty of habitability written into every lease.
Basic living conditions and safe conditions.
Right. It's okay. Fit for human habitation.
Okay. And now, what if a tenant wants out of the lease, although it's, let's say, for 1 or 2 years? What can you as the attorney do for the tenant? What can the tenant do to try to legally get out of the lease or end it soon, prematurely?
Well, there's three situations where a tenant is allowed to end a lease prematurely. A military person who is going on active duty can end a lease prematurely. A 62-year-old person or older who wants to go live in a child's home or an assisted living facility or nursing home. And there was one other situation. Oh, victims of domestic violence could end a lease early by giving a 10-day notice if they're in danger and need to end the lease.
Okay. And otherwise, the tenant can negotiate with the landlord and maybe they can reach some accommodation.
Right. Perhaps, you know, I have upon occasions asked landlords to give a release to my client who's a tenant in exchange for a sum of money, which is somewhat less than what would be due under the lease.
Right. And then they can always rent it out again and remain and, you know, achieve wholeness. Listen, also, in terms of right to renew, let's say it's a 1-year lease. Does the tenant have a right to automatic renewal?
Under the rent stabilization law, yes, absolutely. But under, you know, in market conditions, only if it's written into the lease, very specifically, you're allowed to renew for one additional term at a specific rent.
But you can negotiate it, but it may not be automatic.
It may not be automatic.
Linda, I wish we had some more time, but you've given out a lot of helpful information. I want to remind our listeners, what you've heard is presented as information only. You should get legal advice for your own situation from an attorney, your personal attorney who's been informed of all the specifics of your situation. And Linda Reznowicki has an office in Lower Manhattan, and she also has a website, landlordtenantlaw.net. You're listening to Law You Should Know here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nass Community College in Garden City, Long Island, New York, and over the internet at ncc.edu/WHPC. Please join us next week at this same time for another program on Law You Should Know.